Okay, so we're in the middle of the Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Remember, we were talking about how the Beis Din try and intimidate the Edim in the case of Dinei Nefoshes. With regard to Dinei Momonos, we'll look at in due course. But with regard to Dinei Nefoshes, obviously there's extra reason to want to intimidate them. We're doing absolutely everything we can so that we should not end up with a guilty verdict. So remember, we said that you have to remember that when Adam, mankind was created, he was created as a yochid. He was created as a yochid, which means if somebody in theory would have killed Adam, he in fact is killing the entire humanity. And so too, that's true forevermore. If somebody, chas v'shalom, puts to death a yid unjustifiably, then it's as if he's killing out an entire olam. The reverse is also true, that if you're mekayim, if you sustain one single Jew, that's as if you're sustaining the whole world. That's what we saw last time. So all of this, says the Mishnah, was the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person yichidi. Why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not, as it were, create a population, but just a singular person, Adam, in order to teach us this very principle? We also said, and I think that's the last thing we said, that it also, there's another reason, because of Sholem Habrios, that nobody should say that I come from more prominent, more illustrious stock than you. Everybody comes from the same. We all come from Adam HaRishon. So if you have a look on the fourth bottom line of the Mishnah, that's where we reached up to. That's where we're up to. First word on the line, V'shaloi yu ha-minim. Who are the minim? The apikoresim. So that the apikoresim, shaloi yu ha-minim oimrim. The apikoresim should not say this is another reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mankind, all beginning with Adam as an individual. Why so? Shaloi yu ha-minim oimrim harbe reshuyos bashamayim. So that the minim, the apikoresim, should not say that it would seem to be there are several powers in shamayim. As Rashi says on the third wide line, v'chol echad boro es shaloi. And maybe each power, as it were, created his own member of the human race. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka created mankind as a singular individual so that no apikoira should be allowed to make this mistake. And nobody should say, ah, it seems to be there are several powers in shamayim. No, there's only one, and that's why one person was created. So that's another reason why Adam HaRishon was created as an individual. Back into the Mishnah, another reason now. Ulahagid gdulosoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It also teaches us the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'odom toiveya kamo matbeois b'choisem echot. A human being, when minting a coin, would do so with one choisem, with one stamp. And yet, kulon doimin zeh lezeh. And they're all similar to each other. Umelech malchei amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu tova kol odom b'choisomoy shel odom orishon. And yet, ve'ein echod mehen doimel chaveiroi. An unbelievable thing. When somebody is minting a coin, what happens if he takes one stamp and that's how he fashions the coin? Then basically all the coins will come out looking identical. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everybody come from one person, Adam HaRishon, and nonetheless, everybody looks different. So that's another reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mankind as a singular individual, in order to show the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though all of humanity began as a single individual, nonetheless, look how everybody looks different. Says Rashi on the third wide line, yichidi. Here comes another reason that mankind was created as an individual. Haboim. In order to teach future generations, gadlusoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it was with that first stamp, kol hadoirois. All of the future generations are all minted from that very first stamp. Because everybody comes from Adam HaRishon, because we all come from that singular individual creation, Adam HaRishon. Choyse, a normal person, Hainu Oisei Barzel, he has, for example, a metal stamp, Shahatsura Chakukaboy, where the image of the coin is engraved in that stamp, and therefore, by definition, every coin comes out the same. Tovea Kama Matbeo is Bechoyse Mechod. And kol matbeo is she'odom tevea l'dei barzel achas kulon doimin. All the coins, right? If you look at your cash in your pocket, at your shekel coin or your 5 shekel coin, they all look exactly the same because they come from the same choson. So how is it unbelievable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lahavdil, made all of human beings from one choson, and yet they all look different? By the way, Rabbeisa, you might. I think we learned this together once upon a time. If not, we'll review the halacha. There's a special bracha that one has to say if you see a very large crowd of Jewish people, 600,000 people. What is that bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Chacham Horozim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the wise one of the secrets. Which secrets? It's precisely this. The fact that you see so many people, and yet they all look different. There's no two people. I have, Baruch Hashem, identical twins, but it's a bit of a misnomer. They're not identical. There's no such thing as identical twins. Right, Rabbi Yosef, you also have twins. They're not identical. But even if they
Yes,
are
they're
identical,
different.
right? But even if they're identical, technically, genetically, but they're not identical. There are no two people. In fact, there are no two things. There are no two leaves that are identical. There's no two snowflakes that are identical. No two raindrops. Identical.
Basis of statistics. I'm sorry.
So al kol ponim ve'ofen, that is the Chacham HaRozim. That is the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, the Mishnah is saying that's why mankind was created as an individual, in order to show us the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A human being is incapable of producing several products all from one chosem, and yet they should all look different. No, they all look absolutely identical, like the shekel in your pocket. So here we have, we've slightly veered off topic, but various different reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Berov Chochmasai to create human beings with an individual creation, Adam HaRishon. Number one, to teach us this halacha that if you kill one person, it's like you've killed the whole world. Number two, they should cause shalom in the world. We all come from the same stock. Number three, that the Apikoresim should not say there are different forces in the Shomayim. And finally, to show us the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though everybody comes from Adam HaRishon, it's an unbelievable thing, we all still look different. Now, says the Mishnah on the bottom line, I think this is very famous. Lefichach kol echad ve'echad chayev loimar bishvili nivra ha'olam. Every single person has to say, the whole world was created for me. I'm an individual, so I'm like Adam HaRishon. Look at the very last Rashi on the Omer. Bishvili nivra ha'olam, kloima, choshuv ani ka'olam mole. If Adam HaRishon was created as an individual and he was considered a whole world, then every individual, to a certain extent, is like a whole world. So bishvili nivra ha'olam, bishvili nivra ha'olam. Choshevani ka'olam molo v'loy itari des atzmi mina olam ba'aveira achas v'yim shechimena. If I don't want to be driven out of the world through one aveira, like Adam HaRishon was, because the whole world is here for me, so why would I want to be thrown out? So I've got to be extra careful to make sure that I stay in the world. So all of this is the lengthy drosha that the Dayanim would give the Edim. Here you are about to accuse somebody of, let's say, Chilul Shabbos and potentially putting him to death. Well, do you realize the severity of this? Do you realize that we're talking about somebody who is the equivalent of the whole world? And if he's put to death wrongly, then it's like Chas v'Shalom putting out a whole world. So obviously, this is very, very, very severe intimidation for the Edom. Now, v'shemot toimru. This is also part of the drasha that the Dayanim given in conclusion, as we now finish the Omud. V'shemot toimru, and if you may say, ma lonu letzora hazois. You might say to yourselves, the Edom, well, if that's the case, who need this? Why do I need this headache? You've told me that if chas v'shalom I give the wrong edos, so it's not accurate, then I'm considered to have ruined the whole world. I'm not really interested in ruining the whole world. So who needs this tzara? Maybe it's better if I just stay at home and I say to the dayanim, okay, you've so successfully intimidated me that I'd rather not give edos. Who needs this tzara? I'm sorry to say, v'haloi kvar nemar, v'hu eid oiro'o oyodoim lo yagid. We have a pasuk that tells us that if you witness something, you are obligated to give eidos. So I'm sorry to tell you, says the Dayanim, you don't have that privilege. You don't have the choice of saying, well, actually, I'm so scared, so I'd rather stay home. No, you can't. You can't stay home. You don't have that choice. And if you don't have that choice, so you've got to give edus. As intimidated as you may feel, but nonetheless, no, you've got to give edus. Says Rashi, Ma lonu l'tzara hazois lahachnis reishenu. Why do I need to put my head in bedaigo hazois? Afilo alo emes, even if it's true, but it's considered so severe. Killing people is like knocking out a whole world. I'd rather avoid this. Who needs this headache? Who needs this headache? No. V'halei kvar nema v'hu eid aleichem mutol choivo. On you, there is an absolute obligation. V'nesias ovoin imloi tagidu masher isen. If you do not relate that which you saw, that's an aveira. I'm sorry. Eidos is not an option, it's an obligation. You have to testify. If you witnessed it, kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized that you should see it, you're mechuyev, you're obligated, it's mandatory now to come and give Eidos. So I'm sorry to tell you, yes, on the one hand, it's very, very scary, and if you give false Eidos and somebody's put to death, you have to realize how severe that is, etc., etc., etc. But on the other hand, you do not have the privilege of backing out, you've got to give edus. Says the Mishnah in conclusion, this is now the last line of the drasha that the Dayanim given. V'shemo toimru, and if you say, malonu lochoiv v'domei sholzeh, why would I want the obligation of somebody else's blood on my head? In other words, if in the final analysis he's taka considered guilty based on our edus and he's put to death, so I'm going to be held accountable for that. Don't worry. V'halei kvar nema, famous pasuk in Mishlei, ba'avoid roshoim rino. Says the Mishnah, therefore, there's nothing to worry about. In as much as you're an aid and you gave your edus in Bezdin, if this person is chayv a punishment, then ba'avoid roshoim rino. We rejoice at the fact that rishus, wicked people, and their wicked ways are done away with, and therefore there's nothing to be regretful about. Says Rashi, v'shemo toimru ma'alonu l'choiv liyois mischayvim midomov shalzeh. Why would we want to have somebody else's blood on our head? I'd rather stay at home. Noyach lonu lamoid be'im lo yagid. Maybe it's better for us just to stay at home. It's true. We might well have transgressed the issa, like we said, you have to give testimony. But I'd rather transgress the issa of not giving testimony rather than killing somebody. No, don't worry, because it says, "Ba'avoid rishoyim rino im roshahu ein kan einush." There is no punishment. There's nothing for you to be worried about. So therefore, this whole drasha, we must not make a mistake, was not for the purpose of intimidating them so that they shouldn't say Eidos. Because they have to say Eidos. It's an issa d'oraisa if they don't say Eidos. So rather, what was the purpose of this intimidation? In order to make sure that they give emes Eidos. And in the event that they say the emes And in the final analysis, this person is put to death. Okay, so he deserves it. Wickedness has been taken out of the world. Don't we daven for that every single day? Do we want wickedness to be taken out of the world? If you don't have to have a regret, there'll be no accountability. You will not be punished for it. Nothing to worry about. Okay, so we now bring the Gemara. If you remember, on the very first line of the Mishnah, it said that we tell the Edim, or the second line, make sure that your Eidos is not Mu'umad. Mu'umad with an Aleph. Mu'umad, translated into English, means an estimation or an evaluation. Your Eidos has to be accurate. It can't be an evaluation. It can't be an assessment, approximation. Now, what does that mean? What would be an example? So the Gemara explains. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzad mu'umad, question mark. What would be an example of testimony which is considered to be mu'umad? A guesstimate or an approximation rather than an accurate testimony. What would be an example of that? So the Gemara explains. Oymar lohen, we say to the Eidos, you're accusing, these Eidim are, for example, accusing Reuven of killing Shimon. So Reuven, as far as we're concerned, is a murderer and chayev misa. So what does that mean? What does that mean when the Edim say that we saw Reuven kill Shimon? What does that mean? We say to the Edim, Oyma lehem, listen, Shemo kachri isim. Maybe when you say that you saw, quote unquote, Reuven kill Shimon, maybe in actuality, this is what you saw. Sherotz echod achar chaveiro. Maybe you saw Reuven running after Shimon. Lechurva. What does lechurva mean? Into some ruin, some empty, desolate building site. And you did not follow them in, you saw them running after him. Veratstem acharov, then you pursued after him, and by the time you got there, umotzosem sayef biyodoi, and you found a spear, a knife in your hand, in his hand, vedomoi metaftef, and you saw blood dripping from this sword, vahorug mefarper. And the person who was murdered was there quivering, just apparently having been stabbed. Is that what you meant when you said that you saw Reuven kill Shimon? Because im kach re'isem, if that's what you saw, loy re'isem klum.
Very strict.
What does that mean, loy re'isem klum? That's called mu'umad. Mu'umad means circumstantial evidence. Yes, you saw Reuven running after Shimon. Yes, you saw Reuven holding a sword dripping in blood. Yes, you saw Shimon wriggling on the floor, Mefarper clearly having been stabbed, and then he expired and died. So of course, if you put the pieces together, it looks the world like Reuven in fact stabbed Shimon, but you never saw that. That's called mu'umad. And if that's what you meant, said the Dayanim, when you say that we saw, quote unquote, we saw Reuven kill Shimon, did you actually witness the murder? Or you just witnessed all the circumstantial evidence surrounding the murder? So as convincing and overwhelming as it seems to be, but you never actually saw the murder. I'm sorry to tell you, that's called mu'umad. Yes.
Gemara seems to, at least the Lashon of the Gemara, when he says Shema,
right,
that it implies that the Dayan is leading the aid. In other words, perhaps this is what you saw.
Right.
But.
Correct, 100%. This is exactly.
Is this going to take place after the aid has already given his aidos?
Yeah, after the aidos. So the aid in Bezdin gives the aidos, And he tells the Dayanim that we saw Reuven kill Shimon. So the Bezdin say, well, one second, please. What did you mean when you said that? Maybe, in fact, this is what happened. You saw the knife, you saw the dripping. Yes, 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 that's what we saw. Ah, that's not called that you saw. That's called Mu'umut. So this is something that we would say after Shemor, what you saw was. Now that you present an ayus, of course, this is just an example, but it would apply to any case. We witnessed him being Mechalal Shabbos. Really, what did you see? We saw him cooking. Well, maybe you saw a pot of water in his hand, and then a minute later you saw a pot of water on the fire bubbling. But say to that circumstantial evidence, you never actually saw him put the pot on the water. That's more. Again, the word mu'umad, how do they translate mu'umad in art scroll? Evaluation or approximation?
Based on conjecture.
Conjecture. Okay, so it's conjecture. I think we would all understand. I think we all appreciate this conjecture. It does seem to be, it's overwhelmingly, the evidence seems to be stacked against it. But at the end of the day, you never actually witnessed the crime that you claim you did. You claim that you witnessed it. You didn't witness it. It's in a conjecture. Says the Gemara, Tonara Tanya, Omar Reb Shimon ben Shotach. Says Reb Shimon ben Shotach, Ere ben Nachama is always a lashon of a shvua. I'm taking an oath. In Loi Ra'isi, the follows, I take an oath, I never saw the following. Now what happened? Or rather, the other way around. I take an oath if I didn't see this. In other words, I swear that I hereby saw the following. Ra'isi echot sherotz echa chaveroi, exactly this case. I saw somebody running after his friend, the churva, into a desolate, empty building. V'ratz tiachrov, I ran after him, v'ra'isi, and I saw Saif Biyodo Imamish, this case, I saw the sword in his hand, the Domoy Metaftef, and indeed, yes, I saw the blood dripping off it. Vahorug Mefarper, and I saw somebody murdered there, and he was Mefarper, quivering and wriggling around. Vahomar Tiloy, and I said, Rosha, I said to him, you wicked person, Mi Horugoy Lazer, who killed him? Oyani Oyato. Was it me or was it you? I don't think it was me. So by process of elimination, it's only me and you around here. And I know it wasn't me, so obviously it's you. However, Avol Ma'ese. But what should I do? Says Shimon ben Shatach, even though I'm utterly convinced, I know it wasn't me, and there's nobody else here, so clearly it was you. But what should I do? She'ein Domcha Mosur Biyadi. Your blood is not handed over to me. In other words, I have no right to put you to death. Why? Shahari Omra Toiro Al Pishnaim Edim Yumas Hamis. You've got to have two witnesses that testified, and therefore, Hayoidea Machshavos. The one who knows all thoughts, the one who knows everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one who will punish, who will seek retribution from this particular person, Shaharagas Chaveira. In other words, even though I'm convinced, what should I do? Halacha is halacha. Bezdin cannot put this person to death, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will seek retribution. And guess what happened? Omru, they say, that lo izazu misham. He did not move from there. Ad shebo nochosh v'hikishoi umes. All of a sudden, a snake arrived, bit him, and he died. Now, Rabbi Yisai, we need to stop for a second, because this Gemara is l'chayra very difficult to understand. If somebody sees what we called circumstantial evidence, or as Rabbi Yosef said, conjecture, so it would seem to be that everything you saw surely all points in one direction, and that is, it does seem to be absolutely that this person committed the murder. And yet, at the end of the day, what's the halacha? Finished. There's nothing to do. En ma lasot. At the end of the day, you never saw this because it was only mu'umut. That's what the Gemara said. Now, how does that fit in with the story? Shimon ben Shotach says that I witnessed exactly this particular scenario. Person running after somebody else, the knife, the dripping, the quivering. And I said, I can't kill you in Beis Din. Why? Because the Torah says, Al pi shnayim edim yumas hamis. Now, this is very difficult to understand. What does that mean? Al pi shnayim edim yumas hamis. You have to have two witnesses. That's why Shimon ben Shotach can't kill him? Because you need two witnesses and he's only one? But I thought we just said a moment ago that we don't even have one witness because it's Mu'umud. So why did Shimon ben Shotach have to evoke the posuk of Al Pi Shnayim Edim as if to suggest that essentially I'm a perfectly valid aid? The only problem is, there's a technicality that you need two and I'm only one. If that's what Shimon ben Shotach meant, then to the contrary, it's the exact opposite of what we said a minute ago. Because a minute ago we said that he's not even considered to be one aid, because an aid by definition is somebody who actually witnessed the story and not somebody who conjectures the story. So why did Shimon ben Shotach say that I can't kill you because you need two aidim? You know what he should have said? I can't kill you because there are no aidim. Never mind, there's no two. Well, there's only one, there's nobody, there's nothing. This is a very big question. It would seem to be almost the opposite. From the very fact that he quoted this pasuk of Al Pi Shnayim Edim, what would it seem to suggest? That actually he's considered a perfectly valid aid. It would seem to be that he holds that circumstantial evidence actually is enough. And that's why he has to say that the only reason that Beis Din couldn't kill you is because I needed a second aid and there was only one person, so it's your lucky day. There were no two aids, there were only one. So if that's how you learn the story, then it turns out that actually we have a machlekas. If we were to be asked the question, Mu'umad, conjectured testimony, is that valid or not valid? It would seem to be that according to the first Braisa, it's not valid, and according to the Mishnah. And yet it would seem to be that according to Shimon ben Shotach, it would seem to be that it's valid. And it's a totally perfect, acceptable Eidos. The only problem is there's only one Eid and not two Eidim. It would seem to be a Machlokes. So it's rather strange that the Gemara is bringing this story as if to say that it backs up what we just said, when in fact, to the contrary, it argues what we just said. So have a look at the top thesis. Top thesis addresses this issue. She'ein domcho mosur biyodi, I can't kill you, says Shimon ben Shotach, says Tosfos. Midmaisi hai uvda. The fact that we bring this story, amasnisin de ketzad mu'umad, we bring it in explanation of the Mishnah all about mu'umad, mashma, it would seem to be d'dorish mehai kro de mu'umad. It seems to be that we are learning not to Deloy Miktil, the Mashma al Pishnaim Aidim. The dogish, the stress is not on the Shnaim. What is the stress? The stress is on the word Aidim. You've got to be an aid. Mashma that word Sherou Esamaisa. Says Toisvas, Vachrina Hava im Rabshon ben Shotach. There was actually somebody else together with Rav Shimon ben Shotach. He's not mentioned in the story. There were two people. The other person is not mentioned. Okay, he's not mentioned. When he says, who was it who killed him? Was it me or was it you? What he really meant was it us or was it you? In other words, Tosfos says there's a missing detail from this story, and that is that Reb Shimon ben Shotach actually had somebody else with him. That particular individual, we don't know who it was. He's not mentioned in the Gemara for whatever reason. So there were two people watching. So what Reb Shimon ben Shotach meant to say when he quoted the Pasuk of, that it says, Al pi shnai meidim, he didn't mean to say that you need two and we're only one. No, we are two. So what did he mean to stress? Which word? Not the word shnaim, rather the word eidim. It's got to be al pi shnaim eidim, yumas hames. This person can only be put to death if there's eidim, even though we're two people, but we're not eidim, because we're both mu'umud. And therefore, in the final analysis, the way Tosis is learning, there's no machlokas whatsoever. We're bringing the story of Reb Shimon ben Shotach not to argue, but to back up the previous point, and that is that what? You've got to be an aid. An aid is not somebody who conjectures, but rather an aid is somebody who absolutely testifies and sees and witnesses the event. And that's what Shimon ben Shotach meant. Shimon ben Shotach says, I have company. There were two of us watching this story, but the problem is it's Mu'umad. So the problem is not that the fact that we were only one person and not two. No, we were jolly well two people. The problem is it's got to be aidim. The definition, the actual essence of an aid is somebody who witnesses the story and not Mu'umad. So if there's no machlekas, when the Mishnah says, that the Bezdin tell this fellow, you've got to make sure it's Eidus and not Mu'umad. What do they in fact mean? Don't forget the pasuk that says, Al pi shnayim Eidim. Al pi shnayim Eidim means not conjecture, but you have to testify that you actually witnessed the story. Everybody agrees to that, including Rish Lakish. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to hold it over here. Mis Hashem, tomorrow, Erev Tisha B'Av, we will continue on this. Tomorrow, I guess, will be the last year of Zman Mitzvah.